Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Have you ever ventured off into some abandoned building, hospital, insane asylum, old school, things of that sort growing up, maybe as a teenager, or maybe you still do, trying to witness or encounter something of the paranormal? Well, tonight's story is just that. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, please consider subscribing, as it will help the channel a lot. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up. Now, let's get spooky. I had started running with the Marauders when I was 13. I know. The name makes us sound like a D&D nerd's trying to come up with a name for a street gang. And maybe in some ways, that's not too far from the truth. The four of us, Diego, Jamie, Freddie, and me, we were giant nerds. And if I'm being honest, role-playing games in Diego's mom's basement was part of what brought us together in the first place, and made us a group. Instead of four desperate kids who were bored, lonely, and wanted to have fun and excitement in their lives. By the time we jokingly started calling ourselves the Marauders, we were all 14 or 15. That restless age where you have more energy and curiosity than you have ways of expending or satisfying either. We started to look for fresh hobbies and thrills, new things to explore. Over the course of one long summer of rambling around the more distant and desolate regions of our town, we found ourselves going places we technically shouldn't have. I say technically because we weren't hurting anything. We weren't bad kids, and none of us had the urge to break or steal stuff. We were urban explorers, if you want to call it that, or a town explorer. And we were technically trespassers, sure. But we never ran into any real danger or trouble beyond a cop stopping us a couple of times and making us head home. By college, things were starting to change. Diego and me were both at State, while Jamie and Freddie had stayed at their local junior college. None of us had minded that much. They came up most weekends. And by the second month of our freshman year, we were exploring parts of a true city on a regular basis. We did get into a few scraps then. Freddie got bit by a dog, and I actually got stuck between two pipes in some old hospital utilities tunnel for over 3 hours, while Diego went to go find something to break me free. Yes, I know I said we would never break anything, but there are exceptions to every rule. Except, those exceptions started becoming more regular as time went on. A few more people would come and go at times, most of them tourists, but a couple of Jamie's friends kept coming back, and it didn't take long to figure out it was going to be a problem. They were reckless, making too much noise and doing stuff that, well, I always suspected it was trying to impress Jamie, the only girl in the group. But whatever their reasons, I could see the problems coming. Then one day, the bigger, dumber of the two, I think his name was Corey, fell onto a piece of rusty metal and had to be carried from a lawnmower plant that we were checking out. We got him to the hospital and he made it, but his parents made enough of a stink that we got questioned by the cops, and the school administration put me and Diego on academic probation. After that, we still went exploring, but only the four of us, and only when all four of us could go. We made plans to continue after college, but as happens with so many things, life had gotten in the way. The few times we'd gotten back together, it was to eat dinner and catch up or maybe go camping for a weekend. Diego and Jamie still talked about checking out some dark corner of Duquesne City. But the suggestion was always met with enthusiastic but vague approval that quickly petered into laughter or changing the subject. Because truth was, I was outgrowing the need to stalk around in some shattered ruin, pretending I was invading some monster's lair. I think we all were to some extent. But that wasn't the thing that scared us so much as it being a symptom of the thing we were really afraid of. That we were also outgrowing each other. We never said it out loud, of course, but I could already see the years stretching out ahead. Diego and Jamie might stay together long enough to actually get married, and all of us would get more and more preoccupied with our work, our own families, and new sets of friends to fit our new grown-up lives. It was really sad and a little creepy, like a bug or snake molting and leaving its old self behind. But I could see it happening already. The visits would become phone calls and then texting and emails until finally we realized we had naturally talked to each other in a few months or even years. I was actually thinking about that the day that Jamie called, and when I had heard her voice. I felt an urge of joy, my mind already banishing the idea that we would all drift so far apart. Then I heard what she was saying. Jamie. What? Say that again? She was emotional, maybe crying even. And I hadn't even been paying enough attention to the first time. Maybe I heard her wrong.
Diego. He's gone. He's missing.
I frowned as I gripped the phone harder. Gone how? Where did he go missing at? Her voice sounded thin and watery through the phone.
He went exploring 2 nights ago by himself. I know it's a bad idea. I told him that. Told him to put it off until the next time we were all together. Then we could all really go, you know?
I felt my mouth going dry. Where did he go? Somewhere in town?
No, not this time. He goes on all these weird message boards. Just some weird crap, I don't know. He heard about this weird abandoned sanitarium upstate, like in the middle of nowhere. Said that he had read about it a couple of different places. And at first, he didn't think it was even real. But then he saw a posting about someone had been up there back in the late 80s or 90s, maybe. He showed me a couple of pictures, and I mean, it looked cool. All creepy and abandoned, but not safe. Part of it was burnt down, and...
Jamie, honey... What happened? Did he make it up there?
Yeah, he did. Or I'm pretty sure he did. He called while he was parking, and he thought it was a couple of miles up the road, and he sounded nervous. Mac, like actually nervous. And you know how he is. Nothing ever scares him.
But what did he say? Like, did he say specifically what was wrong?
He said that the trees were weird. Saw a lot of moss or silk or something in them. And he thought that he heard something, but he didn't tell me what. I also asked him to come home, but he said that he had to find it first. Just find it and try to take a few pictures, and then he would be home before I knew it. But he never came home. I can't track his phone, and he doesn't answer.
Have you called the cops?
No, not yet. Diego's job. It's a Fed job, yeah? I don't want to call and tell the police he's up there trespassing if it's all going to be a big mix-up. Get him out of trouble for nothing. I waited all day yesterday, but when he still didn't come back today, I decided I needed to either call 911 or call you and Freddy.
I mean, I'm glad you called, but...
Freddy is only an hour away, and when he gets here, you're heading up to try to find him. If you want to come... Just meet us in the area. It'll be faster than driving down here first. If not, well, I understand that too. I just thought I just have to find him.
I know. Shoot. Yeah. Send me the directions. I'll start heading that way now. It took me 4 hours to get down to the spot Jamie had texted me. My hope had been that they had just wait for me to start looking, but when I called to say that I was 30 minutes out, I could tell they were already on the move. She was saying something about a police car when I lost the call. I drove past what looked like the spot, going on down this road to where I saw a car parked at the edge of the trees. Based on the bumper stickers, I guessed it was Freddy's. Turning around to park beside it, two thoughts struck me. First, why haven't I ever noticed he had gotten a new car? Second was that I hadn't seen any sign of the car Diego would have left behind. I tried texting Jamie. Where are you? I was rusty at marauding, but I still knew better than to call while they were trespassing. I just hoped that she had her phone on silent, if she got the text at all. After waiting a couple of minutes, I let out a sign and got out, walking back up the road towards the gate that I had seen. As I went, I looked up to the trees. They were massive, with a sense of age and permanence that only both impressive and intimidating, but they didn't seem strange. And studying them in the fading afternoon light, I saw no signs of moss or webs or whatever. My pulse quickened as I drew near to the gate. It was a huge, worn-out iron gate hung between two brick posts that were at least 10 feet tall, with chips of martar and specks of rust on the ornate swirls on the black metal. It did have the air of age, if not abandonment, and the metal sign attached to the brick was so green with corrosion, it was hard to read until I got right up to it. Heart pounding, I read out the words, my voice sounding strange and distant in my own ears. Welcome to Greenheart Home. We hope you enjoy your stay. Brick walls trailed away in both directions from the gate, and I had a moment of new dread at the thought of finding a way over it. Glancing back at the gate, I decided to try it. Assuming it was either locked or rusted shut, instead, it swung open with a tight squeak, and holding my breath, I crept through, closing it behind me before stepping off the path that led up the hill to the hulking set of buildings set among stands of trees. I walked carefully through the denser trees and bushes that ran alongside the road, winding up to what looked like a massive manor house, my eyes darting between the path in front of me and the vast grounds further ahead. Everything was deadly silent. There was no signs of people, but there were no animal noises either. A rustle of a squirrel or a chirping bird's warning as I passed by underneath. It was strange. I thought I remembered hearing some type of noises when I got out of my car, but here, I didn't even feel a breath anymore. More importantly, I didn't see any sign of my friends. I stepped out to the corner of the building and crouched down. Even with no sign of anyone and standing in a grown pool of shadow, I still felt exposed. I was getting too old for this. We'll make a good effort to find Diego ourselves, but if we couldn't, then it was time to call the cops, job or not. I was about to put my phone away again when it dinged in my hand. Shoot. I fumbled to put it on silent and then glanced around before looking at the message with glowing confusion. Who is this? Freddy, it's Mac. What the hell? Where are you? A pause, and then, thank God, man. I told her it couldn't be you. We're in the first building now. Second floor, I think. I reread the message before replying. Told her who couldn't be me. What the hell? It was as I hit send that I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. A patrol car was silently gliding up the driveway, going past me without stopping. No, it did stop now, the front doors creaking as both opened simultaneously and two large figures stepped out. They were dressed like policemen, though I didn't see any particular city name on the side of the car, and their uniforms were dark and nondescript aside from two brightly shining silver badges. But all of this faded into the background as I noticed something far stranger above them. They were twins. Chip, I don't know about you, but there's something sacred about a man's house. I could see the man who had gotten out of the passenger seat smiling across the hood at the driver, his head looking like a harshly carved block of malign stone. His double inclined his head in a slight nod.
I know what you mean, champ. There's a certain sanctity that shouldn't be invaded.
He turned and stared directly at me.
A man's home is his castle, after all.
Champ was already starting around the back of the car.
Yes, indeed. Home is where they always have to.
I turned and ran, weaving between overgrown bushes and unruly trees as I headed to the far corner of the building. I could try to make a break for the woods surrounding the place, maybe climb the fence, but then what would happen to the others? Better I slip in, find them, and we'll all get out together. I had to be fast, though. I could hear breaking branches behind me as the cops pushed through the wall of green to pursue me. I finally reached the far end and turned to run along what I imagined to be the back of the building. There might not be any doors or windows, much less anything that was open, but wait, there was an open window right there. I figured it was how Jamie and Freddy had gotten in, or maybe Diego, but regardless, it was a means of escape, so long as I could get in before they made the corner. Peering into the darkness of the window, I hesitated. I really had no idea what was in there. Rotten floors and mold, or something worse? Shaking my head, I forced myself to start climbing through. There wasn't any time for hesitation. It was either run or get caught, and I still had enough of the old me left to know which option I preferred. When I had cleared the window, I eased it down gently and crouched down, letting my eyes adjust to the interior murk of the place. It was a bedroom, and aside from the furniture looking dusty and the sheets and curtains looking faded and rotten from disuse, it didn't actually look that bad. Better yet, the door out into the hallway was open, and hanging from the knob was a small strand of dental floss. We had started using floss to mark places that we went back in college. It was easy to get turned around in the dark, and when we had bigger groups, we would split up into smaller packs that could navigate different areas without overlapping too much. One would use regular white and the other green mint. This was white, and it looked new. Maybe a message from Freddy or Jamie that I was on the right trail. Stepping out into the hall, I tensed as I saw movement at the window I had gone through. The twins were moving past, maybe out into the woods, or maybe to a door because they knew exactly where I was. Either way, I needed to hurry and find the others before we were found. The hallway was wide and long, but the murky light and thick air made every step feel more claustrophobic and oppressive. The place wasn't just old. We had been in plenty of old places, and out of those, there had only been a couple that felt wrong. Dangerous beyond stepping on a snake or getting tetanus. I felt the hairs began to stand up on my neck as my scalp began to tingle. This was one of those places. I made it out onto a large open area with hallways going in several different directions. At first I wasn't sure which way to go, but then I caught a glimpse of stairs at the far end of the hall to my right. I started in that direction and then hesitated. Something wasn't right with this. I could see all the way down the hall, but it was like looking down a gun barrel. The hard edges of the hallway had been blurred away, as if something had built up in the corners, turning a rectangle into an oval. Shaking my head, I started forward. What did it matter? I needed to find them, and he said they were upstairs. Whatever rot or nastiness was in this place, I just tried to avoid touching it and get through to the stairs quickly. Taking out my pocket flashlight, I started forward again, shining my light as I went. What was that? Branches? Dead vines, maybe? As I walked into the hallway proper, I couldn't help but reach out and touch one of the thick gray lines that swirled around the floor, ceiling, and the walls. My tongue grew fat in my mouth as I recognized the texture and saw the strand gleam in the glow of my light. It was a web. Shuddering, I yanked my hand back, my fingers stinging slightly where they had touched the silk. I had the idea of it all falling on me, burning and sticking and wrapping me tighter and tighter until... But no. I made it to the stairs and everything looked better here. Glancing behind me for some kind of stealthy movement, I forced myself to take a breath. It wasn't a big deal. I was freaking out over nothing, and yeah, I've never seen a web like that, but weird crap happens. I just needed to find them and get us out. I crept up the stairs, wincing at every small creak as I went, my eyes and ears straining on any sign of my friends or anything that might be after us. The top of the stairs led to another long hallway, this one mercifully clear of anything other than a little bit of dust. In fact, it actually looked cleaner and in better repair than the downstairs, with a series of closed doors that opened without complaint onto more bedrooms that were unremarkable except how well maintained they had seemed. I was opening the door to the fifth room when I sucked in a breath. This wasn't a bedroom at all. It was an ultra-modern atrium that seemed like part of an entirely different building, with plastic and chrome and marble married with big computer screens, and furniture that made the place look like a lobby in some trendy business. Except all of that was impossible. This was all too big, and why would it be here at all? Most of the lights were off, but there was no feeling of disuse here. Just the lonely disquiet of being alone in a place when it was closed and lifeless. I whispered for Jamie and Freddy and then for Diego, but my words seemed to fall flat in the dead air. Shivering, I stepped back and shut the door.
Take you in.
Letting out a scream, I spun around to see Chip and Chap filling up the hallway behind me. I started to back up, my hands held up in front of me. Listen, guys, this is all a big misunderstanding. I'm just here looking for my friends. We're not here to steal or hurt anything. I just needed to find my friends and leave, okay? They both started to chuckle, hard eyes boring into me as they slowly walked forward, keeping pace with my retreat. Guys, please. We just want to go home. They stopped at this. Their expressions both brightened in a mirrored mockery of mirth before darkening again. Their expressions both brightening in a mirrored mockery of birth before darkening again.
Home? Mac. You already are home.
The twins lunged forward, then, as I twisted around, I broke into a full-on sprint from them. I was fast, but they were faster, and they'd catch me before the hallway gave out. Taking a risk, I suddenly juked into a door, twisting the knob and flying through it before slamming it shut into their faces. There was a brief hammering on the other side, and then nothing. Twisting the small lock below the knob, I turned around and stared into hell. It wasn't a room, large or small. It was a cave. Somehow on the second floor of this old building, I had walked into a cave of sorts. Walls of rough black stone curved away from me in every direction, shadows filling the voids like pools of ink speckled with mounds of gray and white. I already knew what they were, I think, but I still had to go and look. I had to see for myself. The first one was Diego, unconscious, but clearly alive. Not only alive, but strangely younger than I remembered him looking in years. The old man next to him wasn't so lucky. A desiccated corpse that looked ready to crumble to powder. Both of them suspended in thick strands of web against a rocky wall. I could feel my mind edging towards some kind of abyss. A shutdown reserved for when things got too bad too fast. I couldn't let that happen. If I did, I'd die. We might all die in this place. looking around for something to cut the webbing, I... Jamie and Freddy were against the far wall. They looked to be as drained as Diego, but again, they were alive and looking like they had been in high school. As I stepped closer, Freddy looked up, staring at me silently. My phone buzzed in my pocket. We found our way back. We're all home again. Freddy's eyes shifted from mine to something deeper in the cave. Trembling, I shined my light back there and found another mound. My breath caught in my throat as I stepped back there. It didn't make any sense. The face wrapped in the gray webbing was younger, but there was no denying it. It was me. I turned back to Freddy. We've been here before, haven't we? After a moment, my phone buzzed. Yeah, I remember it now. Senior year, Diego's idea. I thought I remembered it too, but I wasn't sure. And how was any of this happening? Why did we come back? Why would he come back? He didn't. We didn't. I was shaking hard now, looking back at this other me, this twin. It was alive, I could see it breathing, but it couldn't be me. And what was in its hand? What the hell was glowing in its hand? My phone buzzed. You know what it is. It's your phone. He's writing all this down. That's what they want. What they feed on. Stories. Our stories. Tears in the corner of my eyes, I wanted to back up, but I couldn't move. Even taking a single straining step was impossible, at least until I tried moving forward to the other me. It opened its eyes and stared at me, a thin, pale tongue snaking out from between its lips. I felt an urge to lift my hand to its face, and I fought it. My phone buzzed. We never left, and now we're back. To feed them stories. To feed us, well, it's best to just let it happen. Grimacing, I grabbed my arm, trying to force it back to my side. This is all insane. This isn't real. I waited for a buzz, but there was none. And when I looked up, it was into my own hungry gaze. Gasping, I jerked my hand forward and snatched the phone out of the other's webbed grasp. My fingers burned, but I ignored it. The screen was dirty, but legible in the dark, and as I scrolled up and back down, I felt my bowels begin to loosen. He had written all of this. Even this that you're reading now. He had written it all. My other arm free of encumbrance, it had drifted up in my twin's face while I was distracted. I let out a howl when he started biting my fingers. But it was more surprise than pain. It did hurt, but only a little. I could feel the cool and then the cold washing over me like a kind of electricity, making me sad and excited all at the same time. I was going home, wasn't I? And maybe later I would go out again. To live another story to feed the things that lived here. To feed myself so I wasn't so cold and alone and hungry in the dark. The more the other me chewed, the faster he went. And it wasn't long before I could feel myself being pulled into his mouth, twisting and warped to fit. Pouring into his mouth with such speed and force that I almost dropped the phone as I read these last few words and wrote one parting sentence of my own. I hit post. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the story tonight. And here's a lesson to be learned. Don't go where you're not supposed to be. It's that simple. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends. And again, like always, spread me like butter. Yeah. Have a good night and stay spooky.